Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
That's the question that a lot of women have is, did he marry his mother? The answer to that is maybe. I think if we had great relationships with our mother, I think men either unconsciously or even consciously sometimes will look for women with those traits. But I look at my wife and in hindsight, she has a lot of same character traits that my mother had. She has much healthier character traits. My mother was an alcoholic, so she doesn't have those. But I didn't think about that when I married her. In fact, it would have been a little bit creepy probably if I had a thought about it.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. APU School of Business and Management offers 12 undergraduate majors and minors, along with an MBA program and a graduate management degree that's offered online and on campus. You can join the ranks of Fortune 500 CEOs and top-level managers who make up our alumni and discover how to lead with integrity. You can learn more about that at homeward.com or apu.edu. Boy, maybe not an MBA, but they also have master's degrees in counseling too and social work. And you might feel like you need that if you're a wife who's trying to understand what her husband's all about. But or you could just listen to the next half hour's program. Dr. Jim Burns talking with Rick Johnson about a wife's guide to understanding her husband. And now here's Jim. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Very happy to have you with us today. We're going to talk about the marriage of your dreams. And we brought Rick Johnson, a good friend of Homeward, here. He is the author of a book called The Marriage of Your Dreams, A Woman's Guide to Understanding Her Man. So we've got to talk about that because, interestingly enough, I know women want to know more about how men act and what they want in a marriage. And obviously, men are still trying to find out what women think and want. And I've been married for 38 years and have three daughters, and I'm still finding that, trying to figure that one out. Rick, great to have you with us.
My pleasure, Jim.
Great to have you here. You're here in our office, not in our studio. You're from Gresham, Oregon, and well, you got shorts on, so you're enjoying the Southern California weather lifestyle today.
I'm acclimating quickly from the rain to the sunshine.
Absolutely. It was interesting. I loved your book, and I was telling Cindy in my office that I want my wife to read it. You know, I think that's going to happen with some of the guys. But one of the things that threw me was the beginning of your book, you talked about men's relationship with their mothers and how important that is. Talk about that.
Well, one of the reasons I actually wrote the book was because I had written a book several years ago called The Power of a Man. It was on authentic masculinity, you know, a man's responsibilities, what his role in life looks like. And it's very popular with women. A lot of women read it. And I've had a lot of wives come up to me and say, could you write a book like this for women? I really want to know how to satisfy my husband, what his needs are, because he doesn't talk to me. I need to know right. What his needs are. And interestingly, when I put out a survey to a number of women, one of the top questions that they had was, I don't understand his relationship with his mother. It seems like he takes out a lot of issues that he has with his mother. I'm paying the price for some of the issues that he has with his mother. So what's this all about with this relationship with his mother? And I only had mine to go on, and that wasn't the most sterling relationship between a son and a mother. And so I actually surveyed like 50 men and asked them some pretty personal questions about their moms. And I usually when you ask men to provide information, they don't respond. And especially if you ask for personal information, they don't respond. I was stunned. Literally every guy not only sent back the surveys, but had it filled out in depth with some pretty vulnerable stuff. And so I thought there must be something here because women are interested and men are obviously waiting to talk about it.
You know, when we talk about our moms, you know, in my personal situation, I had a great mom and my dad was an alcoholic. So my mom was an enabler and she wasn't perfect, but I had a good relationship with her. And actually, I felt at the beginning of my marriage, Kathy felt somewhat jealous. Mm-hmm. I would come to our home. I would open the refrigerator. It was just a habit. I would look at see what my mom had. I would say to my mom, thank you so much for this great food. Kathy, by now, is a much better cook. But even then, she was probably a better cook than my mom. Mm-hmm. But she felt like what I was trying to do was recreate our home kind of around my mom. And I didn't marry my mom. Talk about that.
Well, and that's the question that a lot of women have is, you know, did he marry his mother? And the answer to that is maybe. I think if we had great relationships with our mother, I think men either unconsciously or even consciously sometimes will look for women with those traits. But for instance, I look at my wife and in hindsight, she has a lot of character, same character traits that my mother had. She has much healthier character traits. My mother was an alcoholic, so she doesn't have those. But, you know, I didn't think about that when I married. In fact, it would have been a little bit creepy probably if I had a thought about it. But I was just unconsciously attracted to a woman with those character traits.
Well, we're not thinking about it. I mean, we're 20, 21, and I realize people get married later. But, you know, so many of us got married at younger ages, and we're not thinking about that kind of a deal. But yet it does play an important role, and I appreciate your input on that. Let's go to the dad. And now, again, we're talking with Rick Johnson. We're talking about A Woman's Guide to Understanding Her Man, The Marriage of Your Dreams. But, you know, sometimes you have to start before the marriage and a relationship with your dad. You had an incredible experience. You wrote about it in your book. Your mom and dad, you were 12 years old, your mom and dad were in kind of a drunken state, and all of a sudden you realized that your dad, who you thought was your dad, was your stepdad. Mm-hmm. I mean, how did that relate to you? How did you feel?
You know, I remember it being quite shocking. And when I, you know, and of course, when you're raised in a highly dysfunctional home like that, it's nothing is a big deal. It's like, you know, quit whining, you know, kind of a thing. But when my kids were that age, I thought, how traumatic would it be if they found out right now that I wasn't their dad?
Right, right.
And so, yeah, but you know, it explained a lot of things. It explained the level of contempt that he had for me, the reason we didn't get along, you know, those kinds of things. But I think for women in particular, it's important for them to understand the relationship that their husband has with his father, in that it explains a lot of behaviors and a lot of idiosyncrasies even that their husbands might have.
You know, obviously a dad plays a major part, and that's stuff that you've written on for a long time, but you had a quote when you're talking about the role of a father and how that plays to, you know, how eventually a husband would be. You said every father should remember that one day his son will follow his example instead of his advice.
Mm.
Speak to that.
Well, I think, and again, it's oftentimes unconscious. We don't even think about that we're emulating the things that were modeled for us. I even, at this stage in life, having been through all the things I've been through, the counseling, the education, writing books, I still find myself doing things from time to time that were modeled for me, not necessarily even healthy things, and it's not something that I know about. And so, again, I think women, if they can understand the relationship, it goes a long way to understanding why their husbands act the way they do, the needs that they have, why they might do the things that they do that seem to be completely illogical.
You know, that's funny that you'd say completely illogical, because I just heard somebody tell me those words. My husband is completely illogical in terms of how he communicates, how he does life. And, you know, I about once a month, I do a marriage conference, and sometimes with my wife, we join, and we love that. It's one of our favorite things to do. But, you know, it's no secret that women actually outpace men in areas like communication, relationships. What kind of advice do you give to a woman whose husband isn't communicating, whose husband, you know, has used up all his words when he comes home from work? What do you say to her?
Well, I you know, and I have written books on communicating with your husband. And so, you know, there's small tips that you can use. But I think, you know, finding a venue that he's comfortable in talking, for instance, physical activities. I know as a male, I'm able to process information. I'm able to process emotions much more easily if I'm moving, if I'm taking a walk. I cherish the times that my wife and I go for a walk in the evening, because I can just communicate much more easily. It takes away that intimidating eye-to-eye across the table. She's so much more well-versed in verbal communication than I am that, you know, it could be pretty intimidating to sit down across the table from somebody who's much better than you are. As a man, we don't like to lose, of course. And you know, we all know that we're going to lose any verbal argument we get into. So.
Boy, you're right. you told a story about the fact that you actually just recently had your wife go to a gun and knife show. I'm not sure that would be on the top 9,000 of my wife's desire, but you said it actually was an okay time.
Well, it was for me. I don't know that she had that great. I think she was fascinated with the interesting characters and.
She's not looking at guns and knives. She's looking at the characters.
But the point was is that, you know, I do things with her that I don't particularly want to do, like going shopping or whatever. And she is generous and gracious enough to do the things with me that she might not want to do, but it helps to bond us together.
Yeah.
Doing things that we enjoy doing.
Right. And interesting enough, you were thinking you were having a date and it was communication because you were walking and you can talk about, and you know, what about this? And you know, she joined there. And I think what
had
you
had a brought, I mean, you know, we had dinner, we had the whole thing, you know.
Yeah, well, you really spent the big bucks on her that day having a
brought. That's why I write the marriage books, right?
That's great. You know, when it comes to kids, and I actually put the word ouch by this, I'm going to quote you here. I want you to comment on it. It says, the quality of your marriage is the single most important factor in raising healthy, well-adjusted children. Husbands and wives who love and respect each other raise children who have healthy values, self-esteem, good relational skills. Now, why I put the word ouch is because I think there's a lot of couples today, especially even Christian couples, who they have been child-focused. They've put all their energy on their children, and they could not say that their marriage was that good. And you're saying, no, you got to work on the marriage here.
Well, and I think that's a real fallacy in our culture, is that we tend to focus all of our attention on parenting as opposed to focusing on our marriage. I see it a lot in the different groups like MOPS that we talk to. The parenting books far outsell the marriage books. But the truth is that if our marriage is good, our children are going to turn out pretty well, I think, as well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I oftentimes have heard people say, you know, do your kids a favor, love your spouse. And yet for a lot of times, you know, we talk about priorities, God, our marriage, then our children, then our vocation. But we oftentimes get that all mixed up. And I think guys get that mixed up, and women need to understand that.
And I think, you know, I give my wife credit for it. She's the one that initially focused on that. And her thought was, is you know, my husband's going to be around a lot longer after my kids are gone. And so she always made, you know, she would do little things like serve me first at dinner. I mean, you know, those kinds of things. Make sure that she screened my phone calls so that people weren't bothering me. But you know, those are honoring kinds of things, and your kids are watching that and seeing what's going on and understanding that relationship that's going on between you.
Boy, that is good counsel from Rick Johnson today here on the Homeward Broadcast. Parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns welcoming Rick, as we always do whenever he's in Southern California. He works his way down the 5 and from Oregon and visits us here. Of course, we're in a location that Rick likes to visit, that's for sure. But we're talking about a wife's guide to understanding your husband. Women, it is possible. And if you'd like to learn more about these communication tips, go to homeward.com. You'll see Rick's name is hotkeyed, as we say, on the broadcast schedule today. You can click on that and it'll redirect you to his website. Find out more about his resources. Also, go to the articles and media section of our website at homeward.com and type in marriage or understand your husband. You'll find dozens of articles, tip sheets, video clips, and more, all available to you at homeward.com.
Well, it's no secret that marriage brings out the best and the worst in a couple, but there is a way to cope with those ups and downs. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward with a real-life answer to the question of how to withstand the highs and the lows of marriage. Well, my wife Kathy and I have been married more than 30 years, and she's seen me at my best, and she's also seen me at my worst. Well, during my low points, she has every reason to not respect me, but that's where grace comes in. If your spouse has some major issues, like drug or alcohol addiction, for example, well, I know it can be pretty difficult to respect their behavior. While I'm not telling you to look the other way, I do encourage you to grow together spiritually. Grace opens the door for the transparency necessary for vulnerability, repentance, and ultimately reconciliation. In a truly intimate marriage, it is possible to respect your spouse even though you don't approve of their behavior. So be gracious and start creating the kind of intimate marriage you've been longing for. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward with Real Life Answers.
Welcome back. Jim Burns here. Welcome to Homeward. We're glad you're listening. Rick Johnson is our guest. We're talking about A Woman's Guide to Understanding Her Man, and Rick is the perfect person to be talking about this. He's written a new book, brand new book, by the way, The Marriage of Your Dreams, and as we're kind of talking about helping women understand men, but yet, you know, that's a difficult thing to do. What do you think, Rick, about men's night out, men having other friends? Sometimes women are jealous about that. Other times, like my wife says, I'm so glad you're in this group. We meet every Tuesday morning and we have breakfast down at the beach. And she's like, go hang out with them, because she knows I'm a better husband and father because I do hang out with these
right.
guys.
And I think men's night out is probably a term that would make most women cringe a little bit. But I think it's really important to have, for a man to have other men in his life. From my own personal experience, having men that I could be accountable to, that I respected, that I trusted, that could give me feedback, honest feedback. I could probably hear things from them a lot better than I could hear them from my wife. Things like, you know, you're out of line. You need to look at this a little differently. And so I think that, you know, providing that your husband is hanging around with good men,
yeah,
I think it's really helpful. I have a lot of women that come up and say, well, you know, how do I help my husband grow? And I'm like, find some good men for him, right, to hang around with, because, you know, you're not going to help him grow, but other men are going to help him grow.
Yeah, that's right. I've often said to people, you know, I'll even suggest that they go to their church and get involved in a couples group. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, it's the other men who are going to help your husband who maybe be walking on the fence on certain line. You know, they're going to bring him over, those other guys, good guys. They're talking about sports and politics and, you know, whatever they want to be talking about, cars, you know, whatever. But they also have, you know, a depth of faith, or they have a different kind of commitment to their spouse. And so I think that's a great idea.
Well, absolutely. And having grown up in the environment I did, which a lot of men have grown up either without dads or with poor role models for fathers, I needed to look at other men. I needed to be, right, around other men to see how a man, yeah, acts, how a man solves problems, how he faces life. I mean, you know, those types of things.
Right, right. No, you're exactly right. Hey, you used a phrase that I underlined in your book. You called it anti-communication. You were talking about nagging. And a lot of times I think women don't mean to nag. They actually don't realize they're nagging, but men take it as that. Help women understand what's going on in the mind of a man when the woman is, well, nagging.
Well, and I think most women don't, put it this way, when I talk to men, I tell them that often what we perceive as women nagging is really just a woman trying to get her needs met. Now, women need to understand that that is a very ineffective way of getting their needs met. There are a lot better ways of communicating what your needs are to your husband. In fact, every husband I know wants to make his wife happy, okay? We don't know what to do to make her happy. And so if she can effectively, more effectively communicate what her needs are, as opposed to what we would consider to be nagging. The other thing that a woman needs to understand is that just because a man doesn't do whatever she wants done in the way she wants it done or in the time frame that she wants it done doesn't mean that it's wrong. It means that it's done differently. And so, you know, a lot of times I think women expect us that if we don't do it the way we do, we've done it wrong somehow, and that doesn't set well with men.
That makes sense. And I've oftentimes said to women, you know, we really do want to please you, but you've got to tell us, mm-hmm, what to do. And we're pretty simple people. We'll do it, but don't do it in a negative way. And one of your traits, and we're going to talk about this later too, but one of your traits is to be positive. Okay, we've got to talk about work. That sometimes is a struggle. I remember a moment in my life with Kathy, and Kathy and I talk about it even in some of our marriage conferences, where I'm sitting across from her at a restaurant. It was after a youth group meeting, and we had one of the larger youth groups in America, and I thought everything was fine. And Kathy didn't, apparently, because her lips started quivering. And she said, I'm not sure if we should have kids because you're so busy, and I'm afraid that our kids would not even hardly see you. I had to admit something to her. Kathy, I'm having an affair. Now, the affair wasn't with a woman, wasn't with a man. Mm-hmm. The affair was with my job. My mistress was my work, and my work brought a lot of joy to me, but it also was meeting some of my low self-esteem needs.
Right.
So Kathy couldn't understand that, because to her, our work isn't as important as family and relationships, and yet I had to say, well, you know, I kind of am having an affair.
Well, and as men, we get a lot of attaboys at work that we don't get in our marriages, in our parenting, in our relationships. The other thing is that, you know, for a variety of reasons, one, God created us that way and also made a biblical mandate that we will go out and provide. And that's what we do. And
so you called work food for the soul.
Yeah. We get a lot of good, positive self-esteem from that. The other thing is that we actually are showing our wives we love her by providing for her. And I think a lot of wives miss that. And a lot of husbands are like, well, we have a problem, so I'm going to work harder and provide more, and that'll help solve the problem. It actually exacerbates the problem. But as men, that's how we tend to solve problems. We put our nose to the grindstone and work harder. And I think women don't often understand that what we're doing when we're working harder is that we're really telling our wives that we love them even more.
But what does a wife do when her husband is a workaholic, or her husband really truly is probably working too many hours?
Well, yeah, and you know, nagging about it is probably not going to help. But I think if she can, you know, make it more attractive for him to be at home. Right. But, you know, one thing I've seen women do this, they will be dissatisfied with their their house, or even make a comment like, oh, you should have saw the ring that Mary's husband bought her, the diamond. That's subtly telling your husband that he's maybe not providing as much as you would like. And so there's no man that I know that's going to work less, given the fact that his wife is unsatisfied or with her circumstances in life. So, you know, I think women need to recognize and understand that sometimes they're sending messages out, even though they may want their husband to be at home more, they're actually sending messages out that they want more out of life.
That's great stuff. Listen, we've got to have you come back so we can keep talking about this.
Love
Rick
to.
Johnson with us, the author of The Marriage of Your Dreams, A Woman's Guide to Understanding Her Man. I think he did a great job with that. Roger's going to tell you about that. But before we send it over to Roger, I want to talk about awe, affection, warmth, and encouragement. What I'm finding is that men and women draw so much strength from the issue of really affection, warmth, and encouragement. Affection. You know, there was a recent study out of UCLA that says it takes 8 to 10 meaningful touches a day for someone to thrive. And I think that we have obviously sexual touch, but we also have non-sexual touch, and that's affection. And men and women need to spend probably less time shame-basing and nagging and putting more time into affection. Also warmth, creating a tone, an atmosphere in the home, and then as well as encouragement. I think that's going to help your marriage thrive, and you'll get the marriage of your dreams if you spend more time doing that way. Kind of talking off of what Rick had said in our closing, I was talking with a woman not too long ago who said, my husband's a good man. He works hard. He's great with the kids. I work part-time. We're always too busy. And when we come home, I expect him to come and help with the load. And what he does, he goes and plays with the kids. And I said, well, what do you do? And he said, well, you know, she said, well, to be honest, I kind of nag him and tell him to, you know, get his rear in here and help with the meals and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Again, she said, but, you know, he's a good man. I said, do you ever tell him that? No. I said, I want you to do an experiment. I want you to, and I just talked about awe, affection, warmth, and encouragement. And I said, I want you to greet him at the door. And honestly, I'm not talking about something weird. I'm just simply saying, give him a big kiss, maybe that 20-second kiss that you don't give a kiss to anybody else like that, and say thanks for all the hard work you're doing. I really, really appreciate it. And, you know, can I get you something to drink? And again, I'm not saying that you need to be his servant. I'm just simply saying, create warmth at the beginning of that connection. And then also say, hey, thanks also for, you know, being with the kids, and just give him some kudos here. And I happened to run into her not too long ago, and I said, how's it going? She goes, it's almost miraculous. And it was your advice. And I usually my advice isn't all that miraculous, but said, you know what? I did that. I greeted my husband, gave him a kiss, thanked him for being the great guy that he is. And you know what happened? Was he followed me into the kitchen. And I said, well, then what happened? Well, then, you know, he kind of helped me with the meal. And, you know, he said hi to the kids. He was just in a much better mood. And I said, then what happened? She goes, well, it's none of your business. We put the kids to bed and, you know, they had some romance. But, you know, again, sometimes just a tweak in your relationship can make a difference in terms of understand what your man's needs are. And of course, men, you need to do the same thing. I think actually sometimes women are better at this than men.
Amen to that, Jim. And we have reached the end of today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast. This is part one of a two-part conversation. Remember, if you're podcasting with us, you probably already have it in your MP3 player, but go to homeward.com, hit the podcast button. It'll redirect you to our site on iTunes. You can start that free subscription, begin downloading the podcast of the program as well. You can listen to it again at homeward.com. We're always streaming audio. If you'd like a copy of the audio CD of today's program, drop us a line, write to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. Include a gift of any amount, and we'll thank you for that tax-deductible donation by sending you the CD. And right now, believe it or not, we're coming up on the end of 2012 in just a few short weeks, and your year-end contribution goes a long way toward helping to keep this ministry on the air and going and growing strong. So thanks for considering a gift today. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.